It's time to get organized with Dr. Craig and Citizen Action. Working for democracy and taking on economic, racial, and environmental issues across Wisconsin and around the United States, here's Earl Ingram with Dr. Robert Craig.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. It's Wednesday. That means Wednesdays with none other than Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action. It's the SCANI Summer Statewide Giveaway, where you'll have the chance to win some great prizes. One person every hour will win a Wisconsin Dells prize pack. One person every day will win a pair of Milwaukee Brewer tickets, and two grand prize winners will have their choice of a Door County escape, a Lake Geneva getaway, or a secluded cabin with a pontoon boat. Download the Civic Media app and use it to text the word RED to your home station. Text the word RED using the Civic Media for your chance to win. And I think that pontoon boat belongs to Dr. Robert Craig.
Sounds good.
Let me go to these phone lines quickly, Dr. Craig. Before you came on, I was talking about why our government, Dr. Craig, is allowing these threats to be made by citizens. I was talking about the fact that tomorrow is the 80th anniversary of D-Day, and all these people, you know, who lost their lives for democracy, supposedly. And here we allow people to make threats to jurors, to judges, you know, congressmen and senators, and even Donald Trump sending messages that if we don't get our way, there's going to be trouble. So I was talking about that the first part of the show, and I'm sure I got some callers who are, you know, held over for that, Dr. Craig, and then I'll ask you your thoughts on it. Let's go to Mike from Kenosha. Good morning to you, Mike. Thank you for the call. You say what?
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call, as always. I appreciate it. You know, it's a great subject. It's very complicated. It certainly isn't, you can't cover it in one or two phone calls, but I will say this. The real victim in all this is the American people, because the war has, you know, in our politics has crossed over into the truth now. And so we have fake news, which is almost commonplace. It's spinning all of us around in circles, like a top. And for those of us that are history buffs, we do have the ability to look back and kind of connect the dots. And unfortunately, since the media, who at one time we used to rely upon to cover these issues in a neutral position, they are now dependent upon all this dark money that is dominating our politics, Earl. So, you know, we haven't been able to, for example, at least I haven't heard deep discussions about the Powell memo, which was, for those of us that are into it, that was the architecture. That's the game plan and how to take over America. It's the Lewis Powell memo. And so if we become acclimated with the Lewis Powell memo, then we recognize that the corporations are people and money is speech. Flawed Supreme Court rulings were birthed out of a captured court. Lewis Powell, in this case. So then, you know, we know, for example, that the Supreme Court, and I'm sorry to go on and on here, but this is important. The Supreme Court then, because of the Federalist Society, now the Supreme Court is being dominated by hand-picked Federalist Society judges, and also our federal judges have been selected by the same group, the Federalist Society. Now, those of us that have become students have dug and dug and dug and learned of these two significant things that are going on, you would think mainstream media would run with these stories, but they don't. And the reason why they don't is because they are now dependent on this dark money just to survive. So we have found ourselves, because we haven't acclimated ourselves to history, we haven't had a robust media to bring all this stuff out to light and remind people of, again, the Lewis Powell memo, remind people about the corporations are people and money speech, which was the foundation of this whole complete capture of our system.
Until we
dig deeply into that, yes, until we dig deeply into that stuff, we're still going to be spinning around in circles, Earl.
Hey, Mike, thank you very much for the call. Dr. Craig, you want to respond to Mike?
Yeah, I mean, Mike is completely right that there has been now a half century right-wing plan, one can call it a conspiracy given its motives, to seize control of the country and to create minority rule. And the Powell memo is one of the foundational memos. The up-to-date plan is the Project 2025 plan, which one can find at the Heritage Foundation website, though I would encourage you to read summaries instead. Ann Nelson has done some good ones because it's 900 pages long, but it's the blueprint for the next Republican presidency. And I think it ties back to what your topic and discussion was in the last hour, Earl, in that once you have made the decision that you don't want popular rule, that you and that you have some right to rule and some legitimate right to rule, not as a majority, to have a corporate elite and wealthy people call the tunes, then a lot of the other elements of anti-democratic kind of activity occurs as well, because the Powell memo is about, in part, creating a propaganda apparatus. And that where that leads eventually is anything we need to get people to support our side, no matter whether it's true or not, whether it's a lie, whether it totally disrespects people, and now whether it aids and abets what's beginning of fascism, that is, threats of and actual risk of violence against anyone who disagrees with us, that is all fruit from the poison tree. The poison tree in the first place was the attempt to restore elite domination of the country that started with the Powell memo.
Let's go to Eric from Wauwatosa. Hey, Eric, good morning to you. You say what?
Good morning. Good morning, Earl. Good morning, Dr. Craig. I'll make this quick and then just turn it over to the two of you. I believe in this conversation all morning, maybe the reason you're not getting calls is because there's an elephant in the room. And that being, I believe, these dog whistles of concern for one man, as you put it, a wealthy, white, European, American, felonious sexual predator, is giving not only powerful white people, but also those who allegedly benefit from carrying water for powerful white people, license to do these things. And that said, I think the underlying centuries-old reason they're able to do these things without repercussions right now is because every one of this nation's institutions, including the DOJ and FBI, are driven by improving the lives of white European Americans. So why would they make any attempt to stop their efforts at this point? And I believe also these powerful white people and their supporters are dog whistling not only to their political activists, but also, as Dr. Craig had mentioned, but also to their more unstable water carriers. And that should frighten everybody who values life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, regardless of political affiliation. Thank you. I'll hang up and listen.
Eric, very well said. Dr. Craig?
Yeah, we're well past the time when, remember John McCain, when he was running for president, and someone started carrying on in an audience he was in near the end of the election that President Obama was a Muslim, an evil man, and McCain corrected her. He was a dinosaur then, but that kind of Republican or conservative is long gone. And you now saw in unison, all of the entire leadership Republican Party and their members of Congress claiming that the Trump verdict was totally rigged and directed by Biden and by Merrick Garland yesterday, which was said repeatedly. Hearing it's just made up because they've decided that the only way to deflect it is to convince people that it is rigged and a lie about it. And then they have no compunctions about doing that. It's amazing how quick they're able to do it. And so it really has to do with a deeply undemocratic attitude, an attitude that is based on hate. If it's to our advantage to make people want to take violent revenge against the other side, then we're going to foment it. I mean, that is Trump's ethics, and that is the ethics of dictators. But what we need to understand is that, that people have been through very advanced propaganda, modern advertising and public relations techniques and repetition over and over again. There are a whole lot of folks who've been convinced that this is the case, right? Who have been sold a bill of goods. We need not to make them the enemy, but we need them to see that the wool is pulled over their eyes. And that's what happens when people become parts of cults. Deprogramming, when it eventually works, people start to see that they're being duped, and no one likes to be duped. And so we need to pull at the edges of this fake reality they've created in order to try to get more people to take a second look and think about this and think about whether this is reasonable, whether a Biden Justice Department that kept a Trump-era prosecutor to prosecute his own son and is prosecuting a Democratic member of Congress, of the House of Representatives, and one of the Senate, Bob Menendez, is a completely politicized Department of Justice, as they were claiming to Merrick Garland yesterday, and whether that would have happened with Donald Trump, who, it is well documented, was ordering the Attorney General to do things on his behalf and fired Jeff Sessions for that reason, and Bill Barr would do his bidding until the final steal, then Bill Barr wouldn't. You need to pull at the edges of this reality. It is a little bit like Matrix, where people need to suddenly see that begin to see, is this really real, what I think is real?
You know, Dr. Craig, in today's Associated Press, this is another one of these things. The Kansas Supreme Court has ruled that voting is not a fundamental right. Dr. Craig, it's just, they just continue to push these kinds of things just to see how much they can get away with. And yet the Kansas Supreme Court was able to say this and get away with it. 844-967-2789. I'm interested, Dr. Craig, in your response. I know you got a great one. It's Wednesday. That means Wednesdays with the one and only Dr. Robert Craig of Citizen Action and you. 844-967-2789 is the number. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show, Wednesday edition of the Earl Ingram Show. The one and only Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action, is on board. Before we took this short hiatus, the Kansas Supreme Court has ruled that voting is not a fundamental right. What's next for voters? Dr. Craig, you talked about the Matrix. What's happening?
And you could do the Handmaiden Tale here. I mean, it is like this other earth, right? Except this other earth is taking over, right? Trying to grab all power. But it's according to the dissenting justices, and this is the Kansas Supreme Court. I doubt any of them are flaming liberals, so to speak. The three dissenters are saying that this is long precedent, that there's a fundamental right to vote, you know, stare decisis. Of course, right-wing judges don't believe in that unless it's something that reinforces what they want to do. But, I mean, this is logical. This indicates the threat to democracy. I mean, they're saying the quiet part out loud more and more, right? And we also have had bizarre rulings like the Alabama Supreme Court ruling on in vitro fertilization. and a number of others on birth control pills and everything else, that these folks really believe this, number one. And number two, they believe that they have a right to impose this on everyone else. And of course, what this relates to is questions about overburdensome regulations for voting, right? And they want fewer people to vote because that helps them gain power. So therefore, they have judges that that usually they're a little better, Earl, I think, in trying to find a way to justify them without denying them a fundamental right to vote. But it's hard to fathom. Of course, they probably think there's a fundamental right to a semi-automatic machine gun, right, or a fully automatic one for that matter, or a tank. So the problem is our problem is they're delegitimizing our basic institutions. And the problem for us in that is that that means people disregard them even when they are being above board, right? Even when it is clear that Merrick Garland, had the attorney general, had nothing to do with the New York district attorney prosecuting Donald Trump, right, on forged business documents and doing that in order to enable an election crime in order to win the 2016 election. It had nothing to do with it. It doesn't matter. People just don't believe anything in anybody, and that actually helps them. In fact, there's polling that says that people are very low trust. They don't trust government, the society, their fellow citizens, that they have moved massively to Donald Trump over the last 4 years. They're the only group of voters that's moved in a very large way. The rest are all pretty flat. And so that's scary in a way. What when they do this crazy stuff, they actually help their own candidate. There's a perverse logic to this, because we anyone wants to trust and strictly do anything in our democracy depends upon people seeing some legitimacy, some basic, you know, reason to believe in and work with our basic institutions, like our legislative, executive, and judicial branches at the local, state, national level. And they're just putting a blowtorch to our whole constitutional order, Earl, is the way I would summarize it.
You know, Dr. Craig, well, let me do this. Let me bring Karina in, 844-967-2789 is the number. It's Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action. Karina, you say what?
Well, good morning, Laurel.
Good morning.
Well, you see, I think this is what happens when a Supreme Court allows things to go down a line to the state with abortion law. And now a state is drunk on their all of a sudden ability to decide for the whole state what they want to do. So it depends on you allowing that when it's not, when the power is not centralized, you allow each state to do whatever comes to their mind. And that what happened, Supreme Court, and adjusted to his mentality and that chaotic movement that everything should go down the state. And this is my opinion on that, because it shouldn't be ever allowed even to happen. You're not deciding the voting or abortion or anything like this for one individual or one state. You're trying to push that notion on everybody. And that's wrong.
Hey, Karina, well said. Dr. Craig, you want to respond to Karina?
Yeah, I think it's all connected, as she said. And therefore, we have to take it on at its root. And the root is not all the followers, because once you say that, right, once you say maybe in the 1920s and 30s, the Italian people or the German people are irredeemable, then there's no way forward. But we're a social animal, and people follow leaders and they tend to side with their group. And that's why it's called negative partisanship, but that's too technical a word for it. What it is they've created a strong group identity where people think that my people are this side and therefore believe what their side says, just as you would believe the United States over the Soviet Union during the Cold War, just for example, right, without parsing the facts or independently investigating them. And so we have to cut through that. That means that they have that more folks need to start seeing that they're being lied to by their own leaders, and their leaders are illegitimate. And that's the risk. The current Republican Party risks delegitimizing itself if more people can start to see this. And there's some. There's that small group of Republicans that have refused to go along. Lynn Cheney, Adam Kinzinger,
Joe Scarborough.
Right. So there's a small number, and there's some percentage of voters that are on the fence that way, that the supposed some portion of the Nikki Haley voters. But we just need to start to unravel this. And it's too late once Donald Trump has started punishing all his enemies and has completely weaponized Department of Justice, because they're charged about weaponizing the Department of Justice. Biden's done the opposite to his detriment. They're going to weaponize it, and that's going to be a threat we haven't seen before in this country. What the FBI did under Herbert Hoover is going to be minor compared to what a president could do with a Justice Department that is focused on all his enemies, and an IRS for that matter, because a lot of his enemies can be vanquished just by going after their tax filings.
All right, 844-967-2789 is the number. Hang on. Dr. Robert Craig of Citizen Action is on the line. And you on the Earl Ingram Show. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Wednesday. That means Wednesdays with my guest, Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action. You know, Dr. Craig, the entire show this morning has been having a conversation about where the nation is headed. And the fact, Dr. Craig, that I can't ever recall a time in my lifetime that a party has been able to make threats to elected officials and judges and get away with it. And yet do all manner of things. Again, Josh Call is finally addressing, the files, the false electors. You've been calling on it for I don't know how long. And so as we move towards this election, Dr. Craig, there's so much at stake that I think many of the American people don't really see the depth of what we're talking about and what's actually transpiring in this country. And the fact that people have a right and have rights in this country, but they don't have rights to make threats to people. If I went out, Dr. Craig, and made a threat to you and you reported it, and I made that threat in the public, that would be some retribution to me, not by the person I made the threat to, but because we have laws in place to address it. Why are we not, as a society, Dr. Craig, why are we not addressing those threats that are being made in the public? And what are we waiting for? Are we waiting for these things to happen, to physically happen before we respond?
The challenge, I think, you're totally right, Earl. The whole point of having a well-structured republic was to replace, you know, the rule of bees, right? Where there's constant threat of unofficial violence and vigilante violence, which was the condition of society before you had rule of law and well-structured governments. And so it is stunningly un-American. You can't imagine it until now. It shows how much that people who are concerned about the decline of democracy have a point, because this is a symptom of that. And that violence can become official violence later if the side perpetrating it, and that's having a presidential guy is willing to incite such violence, which Donald Trump clearly is in a position to actually use the Department of Justice, use the military, right? Use all the other stuff at his disposal. It does show how much they've created to a level of intensity and hatred at a level where violence seems justifiable. A lot of people, there's polling that quarter of the country thinks that that violence is reasonable and legitimate politically. That's stunning. And that's because they've been, if you listen to a Sean Hannity, just take one example, right? They've been lied to at such a level. If you've been told these people are scum and trying to destroy you at every which level, right, are vermin, right, then violence seems like a logical response. And they foment those kind of emotions. You tell them that immigrants are not human and that Democrats are trying to bring them here in order to
replace you,
all made up by Tucker Carlson and the great replacement theory, which he took from white nationalism. And so it shows how serious the threat is, and it shows how many people believe what they're being told. People in many ways believe what they want to believe. This has always been true. So this, the rod is at the top. The rod is in the corporate elite that was behind the Powell memo and executing it. And think about it. Think of all the Fortune 500 companies, supposedly respectable people with big names, right, that you see in television ads all the time and their monikers on buildings. They're giving money to that side. They don't seem to understand, by the way, that destroying the rule of law and a structured democracy is very bad for business for them long term. The stock market is going to crash under such conditions. But they seem that they, so we have a very irresponsible elite that just wants more tax cuts. Big pharma, who's all over cable. If you watch CNN or MSNBC, it's all pharma ads trying to convince you to take something that has horrible side effects that they read quickly in monotone voice, right? A sudden and painful death it could cause. But all these happy people are on the screen. It must be great. These folks don't want to get out from under President Biden for breaking through on negotiating for prescription drug prices and limiting the tremendous price gouging. They think that's more important than democracy, quite clearly, just for example. So there's a moral rot, but it's at the top. And we need to defeat this elite, the Donald Trump elite and everyone who has lined up with him. And you see who they all are. All of the ones who have been attacking the judge, Judge Marchand in New York, lying yesterday about Merrick Garland in that ridiculous hearing.
Dr. Fauci.
All of that.
Dr. Fauci.
Yeah, that Dr. Fauci came back. He says he still has to have armed protection.
Yeah, that's it's not funny.
A hero who has saved millions of lives, starting with the AIDS crisis and through his whole illustrious career and what he did during the pandemic, which saved a lot of lives. He can't live a normal life. The man's in his 80s and he's under physical threat. It's disgusting.
You know, Dr. Craig, I would say to you that Joe Biden is kind of made some U-turns on Gaza and on the border. And is it too late?
You know, clear President Biden means well and is a good man, and to his credit, he has, in terms of his a lot of his domestic record, what he's done economically, what he's done on climate, the first president to really dig in on the climate crisis, which is by far the biggest issue we're facing as humanity. And what he tried to do with paid family, will do if he gets Congress, they'll do it for paid family medical leave, for poverty. He had reduced poverty 45% with the child tax credit, universal pre-K. He's going after monopolies. That's a major cause of a lot of the price gouging, is that for the last half century, we've allowed monopolies to rebuild again after keeping them in check since the 19th century. But he's, you know, he's a traditional politician and subject to huge errors. The Gaza policy has been an error because attaching yourself to a possibly genocidal Israeli leadership under Netanyahu is both immoral and horrendous. But Netanyahu's going to get to address Congress when there may be an arrest warrant from the International Court of Justice, which is part of the United Nations, against him. But Congress, both sides are going to invite him. President Biden, there's hope here that he seems to have gone beyond what Israel actually agreed to Friday and put out a bold peace move that puts the Israelis on the spot if Hamas will accept the deal. So he seems to have been, there's at least, I'm hopeful that maybe he'll finally stay, he's finally standing up to Netanyahu and will land it. On the border, it's a horrendous mistake to go to more border security, and it probably will be struck down in court. But you understand that we don't have, he's trying to control a political situation and a situation that's not controlled at the border because we've so underinvested in what you need to do to have a serious asylum process, just like having enough judges so you can actually have everyone's cases heard in a prompt fashion, not taking years. Which, of course, is a right in international law. We helped create after World War II, right? And the UN Charter and the Geneva Accords. So he's an imperfect politician, as any president's going to be, frankly, because they have so many different interests. But the difference between, even if you take the worst case of Biden, what you're most angry with him about, under a Biden administration, it's still a functioning democracy that you can influence and change. The other terrain is someone who will care nothing about any protests, will just label anyone who disagrees with him as an enemy, and clearly is committed, and it's in the Project 2025 plan, to shut down the basic elements of democracy. And he will make sure that there's runaway climate change, because his policy is to move back in a big way to a 1950s style fossil fuel economy.
Let's go to Brendan from New Jersey. Good morning to you, Brendan. Thank you very much for the call. You say what?
Just wanted to comment on one thing you said, Earl, just a second ago. It's never too late. President Biden has been thrown an incredible amount of hurdles that he's had to get over. We have to remember that too many people on the other side, not all of the people on the other side, between Q and between Trump, are basically in a cultish type of situation. So no matter what anybody says from the other side, there's resistance and a wall, and the ears aren't open. But to add to what Robert has said, is that we also have to remember that people are voting for women's rights to vote. The Supreme Court is going to go after contraception. They're going to go after anything that a woman has. Heritage Foundation is determined almost in a fashion to go to one color, one religion kind of country, which will never happen. We know that. But they're going to push it. But it's never too late. He has to do whatever he can. And the most important part, and I'll wrap up with this, is how he goes at him in the last 4 months on television, that he uses a well-calculated approach not to constantly bombard people with what a terrible person Trump is, but to not only relate everything to Trump, but relate everything to the Heritage Foundation, Project 2025, and this is what we see coming. Is that what you want to vote for? And that's all I want to say.
Hey, Brendan, I think it's very well said. Dr. Craig, you want to respond?
Obviously, Brendan is pointing to this, the next 4 months are pretty damn important. I would say that he also needs to provide a more compelling positive vision about what he'll do in the second term, because people need some hope. And it needs to be much clearer about the main benefits he'll provide, because people have been lied to and don't understand the economy. They think that President Biden could be doing much more on inflation than he's done and is responsible for it. And somehow Trump understands the first thing about the economy, which is an absurd proposition. One thing that they need actually should lean into, Brendan's right, women's choice is a dynamite political issue and a serious constitutional issue, but healthcare costs are out of control, and no one believes President Biden wants to repeal the Affordable Care Act or do anything but hand over more control to corporate healthcare.
All right, 844-967-2789. You're tuned into the Early Ingram Show, Dr. Robert Craig of Citizen Action. You still got a few more minutes to get in. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You know, I think Carly Simon wrote this song for Donald Trump.
Yeah, I think it was originally Richard Gere.
It was Richard Gere, but it certainly would have fit Donald Trump. It's Wednesday. I mean, it's Wednesdays with...
Supporting Donald Trump is like dating Richard Gere.
So Dr. Craig, how are things going, man? This thing is moving so swiftly. And as you move around the country and Citizen Action, what do you see?
I think there's beginning to be hope. Can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead.
I think there's beginning to be a unification of the left, even for folks who strongly disagree with President Biden on some of his policies. And we've mentioned Gaza and immigration policy. And in fairness, he wants comprehensive immigration reform. He just can't get out of this Congress. It's just that doing the stopgap, militarize the border and get tough on innocent refugees, that's not the solution. But he does support that. On Gaza, he has been far too close to a murderous Israeli leadership, unfortunately, that was wrong grievously. Israel was wronged on October 7th, but as Gandhi said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth makes the whole world blind, right? that you have to respond. You can't respond disproportionately to evil with greater evil in terms of the death toll. So, and there, and not on any means is justified to get your way. So I see a unification of the left, though, in that there's a greater understanding of the stakes. And I think a lot of people are realizing that it's an imperfect democracy under President Biden, where we have disagreements, versus something else we haven't experienced in this country since King George. At the national level, I will say, though, that the Jim Crow South for Black people was a totalitarian state. So totalitarianism existed in this country for some people, right? But it was never, hasn't been imposed upon the whole nation since the end of the Revolutionary War. And people have not experienced that. We have become a society where we take certain things for granted. You can't. Democracy depends upon citizens rising up and doing what's necessary, even when they're lied to. And half the country is being grossly lied to and gaslit and disrespected themselves. I mean, it's disrespectful just to tell someone something you know is untrue as a way of gaining power, right? We don't like those people in movies. We don't like them in streaming TV shows or in novels. Why on earth? You really have to think about why, how could you be so mad at your fellow citizens and so unfull of love, full of hatred and spite, to enjoy those bizarre hour-long performances by Donald Trump when he holds forth and just spews hatred at everyone in the grossest possible way. And this week he indicated climate change would be good because it'll create more beachfront property, which is unbelievable. It's like saying that the concentration camps were, you know, a good economic development policy. A lot of construction work was done. The reason I say that is because it will be have genocidal consequences. So anyone wants to come at me on comparing anything to the Holocaust, climate change, runaway climate change is a Holocaust that is highly unequal. It's going to disproportionately affect Black and the carbon in the atmosphere.
So Dr. Craig, is it possible that the Democrats hang on to the Senate and possibly, you know, if they can win the Congress, you know, let's say even if Biden loses, is it, how critically important is it that they hold the Senate, and is it possible that they can regain the Congress?
Well, it's possible for Trump to win when not winning the popular vote. He's already done it once. And George W. Bush did it in 2000. So it had been a while before that, the Gilded Age, you'd have any of that ridiculousness around the Electoral College. And so, frankly, yes, it is possible. It's harder the closer it is. And it depends where the seats are. I mean, a lot of the seats are in places like New York and California, where you could have a blue wave and it won't affect the
outcome.
Won't affect much in terms of the national presidential outcome. It's tough in the Senate. The Senate cycle is lined up against us. Have to win that tester seat in Montana. So Tester may be a politician up to it, you know, the perfect Montanan Democrat to swim against the tide. But it'll be tough. We're going to lose West Virginia no matter what it appears, even if Joe Manchin now runs as an independent, now he's declared himself one. Obviously, Tammy Baldwin looks like she's doing well, but that needs to continue. It doesn't seem like Hovde is a very appealing candidate, how much money is spent on his behalf or how much Trump says on his behalf. But for Biden, it's critical if he's reelected that there be a Democratic Congress, or you'll have the current gridlock you have now. And the problem for presidents is, and this is what's happening to Biden, he is being blamed for this being one of the most unproductive Congresses in American history because of the Republican House. But people are saying, well, Biden hasn't done enough. When his hands are tied, people don't really know who has power. They assume a president has much more power than they have. That is part of the reason for Biden's low approval ratings is that people think presidents can do much more than they have the power to do, and don't get into the details of who's stopping it and what the policies were and how our process works.
Hey, Dr. Craig, always, it's much too short. But we'll see you again in a week. We'll be closer to the Republican convention, and you and I can talk about, you know, joining up there. Anyway, up next, Jane Madnair, Madnair on Air, and Greg Bott is not going to be with her. I think Brian Kelly is going to be joining her. So thank everybody who made the show go. I'll see you guys on tomorrow.